to the Sportscast, September 10th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Twitch.tv. And if you're an Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and download our app, The Sportscast. Last night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers edged out the Cowboys 31-29, just a two-point game after an impressive start from both teams and quarterbacks. Join us all the way from Pennsylvania, Jeff Favre. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me, Santiago. I appreciate it.
Football season is back, Jeff. I can't believe it, but it was a good first game. I thought it would be more of a blowout, but Dallas hanged in there.
And to me, a lot of times early season football is sloppy just because it's the guy's first time really playing four quarters. And I thought it was a relatively clean game too for both teams. I thought both teams played well. I was really impressed with Dak, you know, coming back from a major injury, and the offensive line held up pretty well, especially, you know, Zach Martin was out in the middle, and Tampa Bay is, you know, their front seven is loaded. So the offensive line held up pretty well. Dak played well. And Dallas and Tampa Bay for that matter, but Dallas has really put together a nice group of playmakers for him. And it just felt as though both offenses just have playmakers everywhere.
Let's go into Dak, which really impressed me. He was coming out of a shoulder injury last season. I think he got injured early last season. A lot of question marks. Of course, he signed a big contract as well. He looked good. Good connection with CeeDee Lamb. He has a lot of weapons, but how did you see, like, which receiver do you think he connected the most with last night?
Yeah, I mean, Cooper was the guy. You know, Cooper played really well. I mean, CeeDee Lamb played well, too. Both guys are tremendous. And I like Gallup. So I don't watch the Cowboys all the time by any means. But to me, Gallup is one of those guys that every time I see a Cowboys game, he just manages to get open somehow. He's just always making plays. You know, it just seems like he gets open all the time. So I like their entire group. And with Dak, you know, he had that now his shoulder's been a recent issue, but he had that major ankle injury. So it's probably going to take him a while till he gets all his mobility back or feels comfortable running as much as maybe he used to. But man, Dallas has done a nice job with that group of receivers. And then Pollard and Zeke are good players, and the offensive line is pretty good. Well, I'd say the offensive line is really good. It's just that it's not going to look great because Tampa Bay's front is really, really tough. But yeah, Dak looked – I didn't think he looked hesitant. He threw a lot of nice balls. And even on the interception, it just looked like there was some kind of miscommunication because he actually put the ball on CeeDee Lamb's hands. But if you look at that, Lamb was surrounded, and it just looked as though maybe one of Dallas's other receivers was too close to him. It's hard to know because obviously – you just don't know who made the mistake, but even though it hit him in the hands, that is asking a lot of a guy to catch that ball with three guys surrounding him.
Dak threw for 403 yards and three touchdowns for the Cowboys last night. As Jeff was saying, I was wrong. It wasn't the shoulder. It was a severe ankle injury. I think he ended it in after like six games or so. Great performance from him. A lot of good positive reviews. Let's go into Tom Brady. Obviously, you know, through a lot to Chris Godwin, Gronkowski, and also AB Brown. So what'd you think about his performance?
Antonio Brown's still an elite talent. If it wasn't for all the off-field crazy stuff, who knows where he'd be number-wise now. And as far as Brady's concerned, I don't see how you watch him play and really say there's been any type of massive drop off, even physically. He just on the deep touchdown to Brown. Now I understand Brown was wide open and that's a relatively easy NFL throw, But the velocity that Brady even put on that throw, you just don't see any lag in his arm. And I don't see any – I just don't see any type of deterioration when I watch him make the throws. And then he has the continuity with Gronk. You know, every third and five – if or every third and five or every time they're inside the red zone, it just feels as though somehow, some way, Gronk's going to end up with the ball. And, you know, Dallas tried blitzing and he hits Gronk. They tried matching him up one-on-one and he hits Gronk. So he just has a lot of weapons. And I think his body's still holding up. He can make all the throws. And in terms of pre-snap, Tom Brady's the best in the NFL, and he's going to be.
And, Antonio Brown really had a great performance, I thought. I think early on they had a good connection with Brady. Not sure if he's still living with Brady at that big Tampa house that Derek Jeter owns, but that was a good connection. It felt like these two teams, Jeff, they both had like equal amount of weapons when it came to wide receivers and running backs. Who do you think has the edge?
Tampa Bay won the game, so we have to say that, you know, they have the – I mean, I think Tampa Bay is the better team. And my only concern with Tampa Bay long-term, I don't think their secondary sustained some injuries, but even before the injuries, I don't think that's a strength of theirs. And, you know, when you look at that playoff run, whether it was, you know, there was some injuries involved in different things, but their front seven was able to overwhelm teams and kind of hide the secondary. You can't really do that throughout the course of an entire season. So I think the Bucs are going to give up some points, and they're going to give up a ton of yards. If you look at how they're designed, their defense is going to spend a lot of time in their territory trying to hold teams to field goals. But the offense is going to score a lot of points, and the pass rush is going to get after people.
A comment from Byron Jones. He says the Bucs need to work on that secondary. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, but – when you look at how the team is built, that's just where they have the least amount of talent. And that's just, they're going to try to score a bunch of points and then hit the quarterback enough that you create turnovers. But they're going to give up a lot of yards. And I just think that's who they are. They're going to take their chances on defense, try to hit the quarterback, force interceptions and fumbles. But yardage wise, they're going to give up a lot of yards.
Dallas Cowboys missed a few field goals. Do you think they had a chance to win this game?
Absolutely they did. You know, it came down to the last minute of the game, and, you know, you miss an extra point, you miss a relatively short field goal. Those things come back to bite you. And unfortunately, right there, I believe it ended up being a two-point spread, if I'm not mistaken. And right there is 4 points. So that unfortunately, that's just – you got to make your kicks.
How significant was the Cowboys not having Zach Martin in this game?
Anytime you lose an all-pro player, it's significant. But I don't think the offensive line played poorly, especially when you consider who they were up against. So the offense for the Cowboys was still able to do the things they wanted to do. They still attacked vertically, maybe in a smaller amount than they – I'm sure if their offensive line was completely healthy, they would have liked to attack down the field maybe a little bit more than they did. But that's life in the NFL. Nobody's 100% healthy, you know, all year. You know, good luck finding a team that has all 22 starters after week one.
Let me ask you two questions. The first one is Tampa Bay. From what you saw last night, do you think they can repeat and win the Super Bowl?
Well, it's week one. So, I mean, yeah, you have Tom Brady and you have a host of weapons, and the Tampa Bay offensive line is one of the very best in the NFL. So, yeah, of course, they definitely can. But I do think we've been so starved for football that even though you tell yourself, don't overreact to week one, we still do. We overreact to week one. There's going to be games that just go the complete opposite as we thought they would, and it's going to frame how we think going into the next couple weeks. And the reality is every single year there's teams that have no business winning week one and they do, and teams that definitely shouldn't have lost and they do. But week one always has crazy things. You don't want to overanalyze it. But yeah, I mean, the Bucs, you have Tom Brady, you have a ton of weapons. you have a defense that's going to hit the quarterback. They're going to be right there when, as long as they're healthy, relatively healthy.
And my second question is, can you see this Cowboys team winning the NFC East?
Yes. Now, again, not trying to overreact to one performance, but it's a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the NFC East, who has clearly the best quarterback, and that's Dak. I mean, Dak is head and shoulders above any other quarterback in that division. I like the way Washington's built. I think their defense is going to be great. Fitzpatrick, you know, I mean, he is who he is. He's going to gun it every week. So they'll be right there. But, yeah, if you have Dak in the NFC East, you've got a great shot to win the division.
My biggest doubt, Jeff, with the Cowboys is their defense. Do you agree, or there's something else that you have doubts with Dallas?
Their defense, again, we're basing it on 1 week. They hung tough, and they made some plays throughout the game. They forced a couple turnovers. And it's hard to judge when you play a team as good as Tampa Bay. So as the season goes on, I think we'll find that maybe Dallas's defense will be improved from last year. Not necessarily saying they're going to be great, but I wouldn't beat them up too much because they struggled to slow down the Bucs, because I think most teams are going to struggle to slow down the Bucs.
Something to definitely look at. Tampa Bay looking good after week one, Dallas as well. So, hey, first game, just like what Jeff was saying, there's more to come this Sunday. So looking forward to it. News yesterday, which became pretty big, was Steelers signed TJ Watt for a 4-year extension worth up to $112 million. He was waiting it for all summer, waiting to like this last week before the season began. Do you think he deserved that money?
If you're the Steelers, you have to keep them. You know, whatever it takes, you have to keep them. And it's really simple. The best teams draft well, develop their talent with quality coaching, and then you find a way to keep those guys. And that's what the Steelers did. The Steelers are going to, more than likely, they're going to have to lean heavily on their defense this year again. So if you're going to do that, then you have to keep your great players. And TJ Watt is a great player. So, regardless of what they paid him. And these numbers are going to look funny to us because there's now a 17th game. Revenue's going up significantly with gambling and the new TV deal. So all these contracts are just going to look crazy for a little while. But you got to keep your elite players, and that's what they did.
Do you think he'll be better than his brother?
No. And that's not a knock on TJ Watt. It's just that, because J.J. Watt has had just this awful injury luck, we tend to be prisoners of the moment. Prime J.J. Watt, like when J.J. Watt was healthy and in his prime, I mean, that's the best defense player. Him and Aaron Donald are the two guys that come to my mind. And that's not to take away from T.J. Watt, because he's great. But J.J. Watt was, before all the injuries, he was a monster.
Looking at the Steelers, in their division, the North. A lot of people are picking the Browns. Jeff, what do you think is going to happen in this division?
It'll come down to the Browns and Steelers, especially now that the Ravens just, man, you know, they just got annihilated in these last 2 weeks with injuries. So, unfortunately, now, again, the Ravens still have a lot of good players. But
Le'Veon Bell.
I think Pittsburgh's been overlooked a little bit. I mean, their defense is still going to be really good. They're going to try to run the ball a ton and limit Roethlisberger's reps and just let him try to be clutch at the end of games. I think that's a good formula for them. My concern would be their offensive line has a lot of new faces, so you really have to hope that some of your young guys step up and play well, because if you get behind on down and distance, then it's going to be a repeat of last year where – the defense can only carry you for so long.
As Jeff was referencing Najee Harris, which what they drafted this past spring, it's what they needed. No more James Conner. He's in Arizona. Najee Harris, awesome, phenomenal college football player. Definitely will help the Steelers. That's to say that.
For sure. Absolutely. He's a good fit there.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be a better performance than what the Chiefs selected. Well, good selection. What was his name? C. Clyde Harris.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah. So looking at that, of course, the Browns, Ravens, as Jeff has been saying, they have been having an awful past couple of weeks. Yesterday, Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters suffered season-ending injuries, both knee injuries, actually. Things are going worse for the Ravens. I mean, you know, looking at the running back situation, which they lost J.K. Dobbins, huge blow, but, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're, you know, salvageable now, or do you think that, no, it's over. They're last in the North.
So, in terms, look, no matter who you are, if you lose your top three guys at any position, that is just difficult. You know, I mean, unfortunately, no team in the NFL is built to have their top three guys at any position go down, especially not in a, you know, 2 week period or 3 weeks, whatever it was. It's going to hurt them. But the only thing I will say is this: if there's one position that you can plug and play a little bit and you can find quality bodies, it is running back. The injury that I think is huge, losing Marcus Peters is a big deal, because the Ravens' defense was going to have to, at least when they played better teams and got into the playoffs, the defense was going to probably have to carry them. I mean, that game, and their playoff game in Buffalo last year, I believe the Ravens' defense only gave up one touchdown. It's just the Ravens' offense just couldn't finish drives. So my point with that is, the Ravens want to blitz a lot and they want to let their corners on an island. Well, now you can't do that as much. Or if you do, you're risking giving up a lot more big plays. So losing Peters is a big deal. He's a great player. I know he's bounced around a bit, but turnover machine, makes a lot of plays, and you just don't replace that. So they're going to have a bit of a hole in the secondary now.
Looking at the running back position, there is a guy named Le'Veon Bell in the practice squad. Jeff, are you going to see him play this season, you think?
Well, yeah, he's going to play. I don't know how much he has left. That was a weird situation in Kansas City last year. Yeah, which is still young. I guess it's older for a running back, but it's not like he's, you know, 35. I can't make heads or tails of his situation, because I thought the few times he got in games for Kansas City, I thought he actually did all right. He made a few plays, scored a few touchdowns, but for whatever reason, he fell out of favor there. I don't know why that is. You know, I wasn't in the locker room. This is his opportunity now, and they're going to run the ball. I mean, that's who Baltimore is. They're going to run the football. And so if you're a running back there, it's opportunity. So we'll see how that plays out. We just have to see.
Yeah, and of course, you got Lamar Jackson. Can also run the ball as well. He did not only throws, but also runs the ball. And of course, you know, Le'Veon Bell, as Jeff was saying, he was with the Chiefs last season. So Jeff says he looked good, you know,
in limited opportunity though. I mean, I believe he was inactive, or at the very least he was active, but he never got on the field the last few weeks. I don't know that he was on the field at all in the playoffs from what I can remember. So I don't know why that is, but
yeah,
that's not a great way to end your year.
Exactly. But Ravens do have good wide receiver weapons. Watkins, Sammy Watkins, Marquise Brown, Tylan Wallace, Rashad Bateman, and Miles Boykin. So there's definitely a chance, but it does leave the AFC North a little bit wide open for the Browns and Steelers to take over that crown. And looking forward to what's going to happen there. The Browns are talked about a lot. Do you think the Browns will flex their muscles this season, Jeff?
I like what the Browns did in the offseason, but there's always steps to be made. And for the Browns, they're on paper, it looks like they brought in a lot of guys to help fix their defense. But paper doesn't always translate to real life. So they have some real talent on defense. Garrett is still the best player on their team. Obviously, I mean, he's dominant. And then on offense, they have Chubb, they have Kareem Hunt. They're going to run the ball a lot, and then they're going to hope that Baker can make some throws downfield when he has his opportunities. So I like how they're built. I like what they've done. They have a great offensive line. But again, we said that going into last, and they were a good team last year, but we said that going into week one and they got absolutely thrashed by Baltimore. So you would like to see them have a better showing week one this year. Maybe to show a little bit more maturity, if you want to say it that way. Maybe not buy into their own offseason hype.
Breaking news. The Colts have announced that Carson Wentz will be starting week one this Sunday. Thoughts, Jeff?
That's great for them, because if Wentz can stay upright and stay healthy, which could be the problem for the Colts because they've had a rash of injuries on the offensive line. But I still think Wentz can turn it around. Maybe he's not an MVP anymore, but I think Wentz can turn it around. And the Colts took a calculated risk getting him. But at one point, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. Now, that was a long time ago, and he has had a lot of injuries since then. But you have to think he can at least get back to being an above-average quarterback.
And that will segue into predictions. First game, Jeff, Seattle at the Colts. Now that Wentz is playing, are you going to change your mind on this one?
No, I still like the Seahawks. Just because the Colts are beat up front, and if you do get to Wentz, he'll turn the ball over. So I'd like the Seahawks in a close game, like a 24-17 type game.
Is there significance? Because I know Wentz is close to one of the coaches. Is that like a huge deal, or it's still an injury thing?
I think it's some of both. That's kind of why I thought the Colts were the only place he could go, because Frank Reich is the guy that if anyone can do it, he can fix him. If he can't do it, then unfortunately Wentz might just be mentally shot.
Exactly. Okay. Jaguars at Texans, a division that is, Houston is in a huge limbo. Jacksonville, not so much. Urban Meyer's first pro game. Trevor Lawrence is starting. This might be a good opportunity for them to have a good first debut. Does Jeff agree?
Division games are always tough to predict, especially early in the year. The Texans are a mess, but sometimes when your team is viewed as a mess by everybody, you kind of rally around that and come out strong. I think the Texans are going to be a train wreck this year, but I think they're actually going to surprise people and win that week one game. They might not win another game then for a long time after that, but I think they're going to win week one and just kind of, you know, get their good feeling for the year.
Jeff picks the Texans. Tyrod Taylor is starting that game. No Deshaun Watson, so looking forward to that.
That doesn't make me feel great, but
hey. And also a lot of buzz with Phil Lindsay playing there. So, you know, there's
player. They're going to have to feed him the rock. I mean, he's a good player.
Optimism there. Okay, Philadelphia at Atlanta. Of course, Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. Still new quarterback. Atlanta, with Matt Ryan. It's kind of a toss-up, I think. But, Jeff, what do you think is going to happen there?
I like Atlanta. Again, the Eagles are another team I'm afraid are in for a pretty difficult year. And Atlanta will play a decent game at home. And look, right, wrong, or indifferent, the Falcons always think they're in win-now mode. You know, now they did trade away Julio. They traded away Julio Jones, which is not exactly a win-now move, but they probably felt as though they had to make the move now. But yeah, I think the Falcons will win that game by 10 points.
And another breaking news going on right now. Saquon Barkley is playing week one, so keep that in mind when the Giants face the Broncos. Chargers at Washington. Fitzpatrick, Ron Rivera. The organization seems a little bit more stable now than last year. What's going to happen there?
I like Washington in a really ugly game, like a really ugly, low-scoring game. And so I think Justin Herbert is going to be legit, so not taking anything away from him. I just think it's really difficult. Week one, generally speaking, are uglier games because it's your first week. And the Chargers have to travel cross country and play a really good physical team. And it just feels as though sometimes early in the year, the teams that are great in the trenches win those uglier games. So I'd see like a 17-14 or 21-17 type game with Washington winning.
Chargers could be the team of the future for the AFC West.
Yeah, we've been hearing that a long time, so we'll see.
Pittsburgh goes up to Buffalo. Wow, tough game. Sucks, but it's going to happen. What's going to happen there, Jeff?
So that's one of the better matchups of the entire week one. I lean towards Buffalo a little bit, just because Josh Allen, man, he's really – I mean, he I watched a couple of his preseason games. He's throwing lasers. And he'll be the difference in that game. I do worry a little bit about Buffalo's defense. They went with the youth movement to try to fix the pass rush, which I do think is smart. And I think the Bills will do just enough to win. It'll be a closer game, like a 28-24 type game. But the Steelers are going to take some time, I think, to get their offense on track. And when that happens, you can get a little bit pass heavy and put it in the hands of your veteran quarterback, which is fine. But I don't think Roethlisberger is the guy they want throwing 30 or 35 balls a game at this point in his career. So if Allen puts some points on the board early, it might put the Steelers in a situation they don't want to be in.
Buffalo has the edge. San Francisco, Garoppolo is the starting quarterback, goes into Detroit. Goff is the new quarterback there. What's going to happen there in Detroit?
I like San Francisco a lot, not just week one, but looking big picture. San Francisco was one of the teams last year that just got devastated by injuries before they could even get their plane in the air. And their roster is very, very good. I mean, very good. So I think we're going to get a reminder of just how good San Francisco was before they were devastated by injuries. And I like them in a big way against Detroit.
Minnesota at the Bengals. Who you got there? Joe Burrow.
Yeah, the Vikings. So I think the Bengals have done some good things. Obviously, Burrow is going to be a good quarterback, but you talk about guys coming off really difficult injuries. I mean, he just got, you know, I mean, I don't know how somebody's leg can move the way his did and you can still put it back together. So it's going to take him some time to get going. I still don't love the Bengals offensive line, and Zimmer will always put together a defense that gets after the quarterback. So the Vikings, and Jefferson is going to have a great sophomore year. Cousins, another year in the system. I like the Vikings just being the better team and winning by a touchdown.
Kirk Cousins. Jets at the Panthers. Sam Darnold is now the new quarterback, so very familiar faces. The Darnold Bowl, who you got there?
So I think the Panthers have the better overall roster, and I really like what they've done on defense, but I'm just going to – maybe this isn't even a surprise to most people, but I guess to me it would be. I'm going to take the Jets, and it's just one reason, like probably overlooking a million reasons I should go the other way. And that is hearing Tony Romo talk so, so highly of Wilson. Just Romo is rarely wrong when it comes to those type of things. And when you have a quarterback that's that talented, it makes up for a lot of ills. So I think the Jets are going to pull a minor upset here and like win by a field goal late in the game.
Big upset of the weekend so far from Jeff. Cardinals visit Tennessee. Murray versus Tannehill, but Tannehill has a lot of weapons, a guy named Julio Jones, and of course Derrick Henry right behind him. What's going to happen there?
I like the Titans a lot because some teams you just look at them and you say they're built really well to do what fits their talent. And if you look at the Titans, they're going to line up on offense and they're going to have Brown and Jones, and then you have to worry about stopping Henry. So the Titans are still going to be who they are, and they're going to hand the ball off a lot. But then they're going to take their play-action shots downfield, and boy, do they have the guys to do it now. I mean, like, talk about big, physical, fast. And I'd say Tannehill, I know he has his limitations, but if you give him an opportunity to throw down the field off play-action, he's tough. He's tough in that scenario, and he'll make those plays. So I like the Titans, especially since they're playing at home.
Titans, it is good team, pretty exciting with Julio. That could tip them, but I don't know.
High scoring game though, because I still don't think the Titans defense is very good. So I think it'll be a high scoring game.
How do you think James Conner is going to do there? in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him being a big factor. I think he'll be a role player. Just,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he does well. You know, he has a great story. But I just think he's more of a role player at this point.
Okay, here let's get into business. Browns at Kansas City. This was a playoff game, I think, last season or the year before. Yeah, Jeff, what's going to happen there?
It's always hard to, you know, pick your own team and do those things. But so my only concern is it sounds as though so far it's not looking great for Tyrann Mathieu playing on Sunday. And Frank Clark's going to be on a pitch count. And Willie Gay, who I'd say is the Chiefs' best linebacker, is already out. So I do worry that they'll give up a bunch of points. But with that said, even with those guys out, it really feels as though the way that things went down in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs feel a bit embarrassed. And I'm not really one of these guys that thinks, you know, oh, the matter team wins or the, you know, the more rah-rah team wins. But I just think Andy Reid is great early in the season. Mahomes is – he's never lost a game in September, and he's never thrown an interception in September. So I look at that, and then we also know the Browns, I believe, have lost their last 16 opening games. So I just look at all that. And I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think the Chiefs will win by a touchdown. And I do think it'll be a high-scoring game, though. I think we're talking like 38-31 or 35-28 type game.
Quite a high-scoring game. Looking forward to that one. It's in the later window at 4 o'clock. Mac Jones versus Tua, Dolphins versus New England Patriots. What's going to happen there, Jeff?
This is a tough one for me because I think the Patriots defense is going to be really good again. Excuse me. But the Dolphins defense last year was a turnover. Excuse me. I think the Dolphins defense was a turnover machine last year, and I think they're going to be again this year. Mac Jones is a rookie, and not to make too much out of one game, but I just think the Dolphins are going to get turnovers and they'll turn that into just enough points to win the game. So I see it being a lower score. I think it's like a 20-17 Dolphins win.
Good opportunity to see both quarterbacks, Tua, see how he's doing in a full game as a starter. Same for Mac Jones. As Jeff was saying, he is a rookie at the end of the day. So we'll see what happens. Denver at the Giants. As I mentioned before, Saquon Barkley is playing week one. He was speculated to start a little bit later. But it is going to be week one. Jeff, is that going to be the tipping point for the Giants?
This might be one of the ugliest games on the docket in terms of just matchup and what both teams are good at. And I just think defensively, the Broncos are going to be really good on defense. The Giants are going to bring back a really good defense. But I think Daniel Jones will just turn the ball over more than Teddy Bridgewater will. So I think that, I mean, this could be a super ugly game, like a 13-10 game. The Giants will try to use Barkley to, you know, muck it up and just not turn the ball over and run an ugly offense, and that's all okay. But I just don't know that Jones is going to make enough throws to really get points on the board. So looking at the matchup, I think this is the ugliest game of the week. I think this is like 14-10 Denver is what I'm thinking.
And Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback, of course. So it could be an ugly game, as Jeff was saying. Another big game, not really, now that we know what's going on with the Saints. Green Bay visits New Orleans. Of course, Aaron Rodgers had a little bumpy ride with Green Bay, but now things are settled there. But what's going to happen there? And, of course, don't forget, James Winston is starting for the Saints. Who you got?
I really feel that Jameis Winston is going to have a bounce back year. I think he's with a great team and great, great coach to revitalize his career. But the Packers will win. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. And even though things with the team have been like this volcano seemingly about to erupt, it's still a motivator to him, right? Even though he's mad or just irritated with ownership or whatever it is, that's just going to be extra motivation for him. And Rodgers is as good as it gets. And I think we're going to see one of his best years of his career. And the Packers are going to win that game.
Last dance, of course, Randall Cobb coming in. But Jeff says Randall Cobb doesn't do much. Maybe that, you know, last 3-yard touchdown. Sunday Night Football, the Bears at the Rams at the new SoFi Stadium. It's going to be beautiful. What's going to happen there?
Well, this feels a little bit like they didn't want to throw Justin Fields out there. So they're just going to feed Andy Dalton to the wolves and hope it gives Justin Fields time to escape. you know, I think this is going to be a rough night for Chicago. Their defense is talented, and I think they took the right guy in Fields, but Andy Dalton against that Rams defense, that's going to be a long night for Chicago. So I like the Rams. I think this is one of the bigger spreads this week. It'll end up being one of the bigger spreads. So I think the Rams are going to win by double digits.
Matthew Stafford's debut. But there you have it. Week one continues this weekend, starting on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to it. Put your red zone on. Get your bets in and get yourself watching some football. Poll question of the day. Who makes the best TV dinners? Options are Banquet, Healthy Choice, Stouffer's, or Hungry Man.
That is Hungry Man by a mile. I haven't had any of those in a long time.
Me too.
But I would eat a Hungry Man right now. Like, I can smell it. Like, it's built into me.
And most of the SportsCast followers has chosen Hungry Man, winning at 50%. Stouffer's at 25%. Banquet 25%. Healthy Choice at 0%, Jeff.
Well, that's where it should be.
There you go. Anyways, if you're out of food, get some TV dinners. Jeff, what is the best way to reach you online to have a good barbecue recipe for week one?
Best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter.
And of course, you can follow us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter, thesportscast1. And also on our Instagram, we'll be live tweeting this weekend. Looking forward to week one. A lot of good games. Really excited. Last night was a good start. Sunday continues. But anyways, it's been great, Jeff. Thanks for coming on to the SportsCast.
All right. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.